bless you and thank you, Lord, for this time. You are our God. There is none besides you. We want to bow our hearts before you today, Lord. Enable us to see Jesus. Enable us to receive Jesus. Enable us to grow in him and by him and through him and for him. Enable us to realize his fullness entirely by the Holy Spirit. Make us alive to the person of the Holy Spirit. Make us alive to every move of the Holy Spirit. Make us alive, O God, to the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk before you, Father, by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that the law of sin and death will be destroyed in our lives, Lord. That we will be set free perfectly, completely, and totally, so that we will do all things in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. We pray that as we continue to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we will understand that those gifts are an expression of the testimony of Jesus. Those gifts are the very fabric, O God, that is built out of the Word, Father. It is the expressive reality, O God, of the Word of God, Father. It is the expressive manifestation of the Word of God. We ask this and we pray that you will enable us to understand this and to function in this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The vocal gifts are meant to make you and me oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. That what we speak is meant to be of the utterances of God. So the vocal gifts are meant to bring forth the utterances of God. The interpretation of tongues is meant to bring forth the utterances of God in understandable language. And that flows into the revelatory gifts. Either through tongues, either through the interpretation of tongues, it then flows into the revelatory gifts. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the discernment of spirits. It also then moves into the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healing as well. The prophetic word enables that word to be spontaneously spoken as the word in season. And that prophetic word is meant in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. It is meant to edify, that is, it is meant to build, it is meant to exhort, it is meant to encourage, and it's meant to console, it is meant to heal. So this basic witness is the witness of the cross. Jesus Christ came, and by his stripes and by his wounds we are healed, we are delivered. In the witness of the cross, Jesus Christ is building new lives. Our lives are being renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit through communication of the Spirit and life of Jesus, through communication of the faith and love of Jesus, through communication of the witness and testimony of Jesus. The gifts are an expression of the testimony of Jesus. They are an expression of the ministry of Jesus Christ, uniquely to be developed and manifested through each one of us. There is a manifestation of the gifts in the spontaneous, and there is a manifestation of the gifts in the abiding. The spontaneous we are very familiar with. The abiding is that which is built into you and becomes part and parcel of your being. Now this is why in James chapter 1 verse 17 it is written that every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. He brought us forth by the word of truth. So it is very fundamental that we understand that the gifts have to operate through the word that is the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, "Thy word is truth." Let's look at that. John chapter 17. " sanctify them in the truth. Verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. That means make them holy through the truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And Jesus is actually talking about himself. The word that comes through him. The word that is expounded in his spirit, in his life. The word that the gift enables us to communicate in the spirit and life of Jesus. So always remember that functioning in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is part and parcel of the Word of God. It is the expression of the Word of God. Yeah, spontaneously and also in an abiding sense. We are meant to be a gifted people. So while you can use a gift spontaneously, you must always understand that the higher levels of the gifts, the higher manifestations of the gifts, are entirely based on the abiding level of the gift that is built into you. The gifting that becomes, that comes out of the word of truth, that comes into you as light, the revealed word. When the word becomes light inside of you, it manifests a heart that is enlightened. So for example, in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17, Paul writes, I pray that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the true, full, and perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm expanding the word epinosis there. For knowledge, the true, full, and perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. Where is the word of God? In your mouth and in your heart. Where do you speak tongues from? From your mouth and from your heart. Yeah? So that's where the word of God is. The word of truth must always be the means by which you speak forth the word that is prophetic. Whether you speak it in tongues, whether you speak it through an interpretation of tongues, whether you speak it as a prophetic word, it has to come forth in the reality of the truth that captivates your heart. The truth that captivates your heart. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Living water. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Yeah? So what is that living water? The Rhema word. Wells of living water. When the Word of God becomes alive by the Holy Spirit, it has the potential or it has the capacity to act as a well sunk into the river of life that flows from God. And you can draw from that river of life and you can release it. Your mouth releases it and your heart draws it up. So in John chapter 7, Jesus says that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Verse 37, Jesus says, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So the word of God is designed to manifest that flow of water that will flow out of you in a manifold expression that is called rivers of living water. Every reality of the word has the potential to flow out of you like a river. It has the potential to flow out of you with a reality. Whether it's a healing reality, whether it's a reality of wisdom, whether it's a reality of knowledge, whether it's a reality of power, whether it's a reality of transformation, whether it's a reality of energization, whether it is a complex reality of the love of God, whatever it is, the human mind can't comprehend what can possibly flow out of single verses of the scriptures. So when you move in the gift, the word of God defines at what level that gift operates, guys. If you have a gift of prophecy and you have the nature of a skunk, you will prophesy like a skunk. That's why the truth sets you free. So that you put on Christ, so that you are built in His image and in His fullness. So that when you prophesy, you will prophesy in the word of God that is conformed to Christ in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Imagine rivers of living water flowing out of you as you operate the gifts. Imagine the gift of faith operating through you as a manifold river bringing forth life. Just imagine the gift of miracles manifesting with the river of life. Not false miracles. Not miracles that just do a trick, like a magician's trick. There is an apparent healing, but there is no life after it. Of what use is those kind of miracles? If a person can't find Jesus Christ after you have done the miracle, what have you done? You've done precisely nothing. You have done precisely nothing. It is a worthless thing you have done. Yes, the guy got healed of cancer. So what? He's still going to die. What have you done? You've done nothing. Why? Because you were entirely immersed in your heart about yourself and your great ministry and your great anointing and how everyone should know how anointed you are. So if Jesus Christ is not preeminent within you, every gift that you operate will be corrupted. The flow of waters through you will be poisoned waters. And we have seen this in the church. We have seen this at the very forefront through ministers who have functioned in the gifts and in the anointings. When the waters become poisoned, there is a reason why the waters are poisoned. When Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came to a place called Mara where the waters were poisoned. It was the root of a tree that removed the poison. So in the same way, there is something called the root of David that is the only means by which the waters within us can be sweetened waters and not poisoned waters. If you don't love Jesus Christ, if He's not the beloved of your heart, the flow of the river of life through you will become poisoned waters. You will poison the waters. So how do we draw upon this flow of living water? Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 5, a plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. So always remember what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. When the seed is planted in the good soil, it is because a person has heard the word of God and he has understood it. When you operate the gifts, it must be in the understanding that is defined in the word of God. The understanding that is defined in the word of God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The second half of verse 10, which says, understand, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what is understanding? The knowledge of Jesus Christ, the intimacy of Jesus Christ, the love for Him, the respect for Him, the way you honor Him, the way you worship Him, the way you treasure Him. If you don't treasure Him, your gift will become poisoned waters. It's only a question of time. So many parts of the church do not want to receive the gifts because so often they see the waters flowing out of us as poisoned waters. But the gift has always been a good gift. Who has corrupted the gift? Man has allowed Satan to corrupt the gift. Why? By taking our eyes off Jesus Christ. By thinking that we can grow in the ministry out of anointings and giftings without understanding that if we do not build it out of the nature and character of Jesus Christ, there is no meaning to anything God gives us. So it's very important that you understand this, that the flow of the gifts through you has to be in the reality of Jesus Christ built into you through the Word. So the flow of living waters, the flow of living waters is part and parcel of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks about a temple, a messianic temple, in the last 8 chapters of the book of Ezekiel. And from under the altar, there begins to be a trickle of water, and that water becomes a great river. And wherever the river goes, there is life. So that river is flowing out of us. The prophets, Isaiah says, there will be rivers in the wilderness. Those rivers have to flow out of living vessels. But they must be waters of life. Jesus said, I am the life. They must be entirely a living expression of His Spirit and His life. Otherwise, how else can life come forth? It is not merely operating a gift. It is not merely sounding prophetic. So you look back into the prophets in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Jeremiah, God turns round to the prophets of Israel who have gone off track, and He says, they are just prophesying out of their own spirits. They are prophesying out of their own imaginations. They are prophesying to each other and confirming each other's falsehood. They are prophesying by Baal. And the same thing is happening in the church. Why? Because there is no focus on the name of Jesus. There is no focus on building things out of the testimony of Jesus. And that which is not built out of the testimony of Jesus is falsehood. If He says, I am the truth, that which is not of Him is falsehood. Don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. If He says, I am the way, that which does not express Him ain't the way. Just because it sounds intelligent, just because it is designed by a bunch of guys with 55 degrees after their names, doesn't mean it has got any sense in it. Like somebody wrote in an email that I received this morning, professionals built the Titanic, amateurs built the Ark. And the two were entirely different, isn't it? One was of God and one was of man. And that which was of man died. And everyone who depended on the chariots of Egypt died with those chariots. That's the story of man. As you operate the gifts, there is nothing different from that. If you think we can become professional prophets and professional apostles and professional pastors and professional evangelists and professional teachers, we will all die professionally. If we remain amateurs who are entirely dependent on God who are entirely humble before God, knowing that we know nothing, then everything we do will stand forever. Because God will make it right, even when we do foolish things. Because there's nothing that is impossible with God. And that's what the Christian ministry is all about. That's why Jesus Christ took the loudmouth fisherman who betrayed him and said, "Now you are ready to lead the church." And that loudmouth fisherman ends his life by writing that he has received a faith in the righteousness of his God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He writes that everything comes in the true, full, and perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything pertaining to power and godliness flows out of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. So, brethren, be wise. That which is not built on the name of Jesus, that which does not glorify him, will die. It will surely die. So walk in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And when you blow it, just turn to the Lord and say, "I blew it because of my own selfishness. I blew it because of my own pride. I felt that jarring in my witness because I was boasting of myself." If you can bring these kind of issues as and when they happen, and they will happen in each one of us because that is our nature, God will deal with you. He will deal with your nature. He will transform you through the Spirit and life of Jesus. And you will learn how to operate the gift. You will learn how to function in the anointings for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will bring inside of you a peace of amazing proportions. It will bring inside of you a sense of satisfaction that nothing in the world can ever give you. It will give you a sense of accomplishment that nothing in the world system can ever give you. Jesus Christ is the satisfaction of the human soul. He is the life. He is the joy. He is the beloved. He is the be-all and end-all of our life. God gave him so that through him we will be able to see the Father's heart. So that in his merits we will be able to enter into the incomprehensible light of God. Because God dwells in unapproachable light. But as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is released into our hearts, we will be able to see the Father. And every one of us sitting here can see the Father in some reality. But that reality has been entirely opened from the heart of the Son. It does not stand there because you prayed and you fasted and you did this and you read this and you read that. It only stands in the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have realized in your heart. So just imagine if your heart manifests like a morning star, at what level the gifts of God will function at. Just imagine that. If you can see the intensity of the light of God manifested in you like a morning star, like a burning sun, can you imagine the power of what will be released from your mouth in the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the gift of faith and the gift of miracles and the gifts of healing and the prophetic word? How powerful it will be. It will slice through Satan like a knife cutting through butter. But do you understand that that kind of manifestation of the giftings is entirely a God reality, guys? It is not a man reality at all. That reality of the prophetic word that unveils in you as a morning star. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. That reality of the prophetic word is entirely of Jesus Christ. It is not of anyone else. There will be nothing of you and me in that kind of a reality. There will be absolutely, totally, and comprehensively nothing of you and me in that kind of reality of the prophetic word. That is the true prophetic word. That is the prophetic word that will manifest as rivers of living water. And every gift has the potential of releasing a reality of that flow of the river of life. But that kind of reality, the human mind cannot comprehend. The human mind cannot train such people. It has to be entirely, as Moses wrote, the workmanship of God. The heart must be entirely the workmanship of God. Exodus 32 verse 15 and 16. The heart must be written upon by the finger of God. Exodus chapter 31 verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3. That flow of the giftings of the Holy Spirit always function in the name of Jesus. And they make us ministers of the new covenant. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. Ministers of the new covenant. We must become ministers of the new covenant. We function in the gifts as ministers of the new covenant. Without covenant, there is no meaning to the gifting. And the covenant is fashioned in a heart of flesh. The covenant functions in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. It is entirely tied to the witness of the cross. It is the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And when we minister, we are participating in the expression of that new creation. Salvation, in its pure sense, is a creative process. Created in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus. So that He fills all in all, in each one of us, and in everything that we say and do. In everything that we become. Do you get the message? It's so crucial, guys, that you understand this. Only the Holy Spirit can develop such a reality. Never divorce the gifts from the Word of God. You are in trouble if you do so. The gifts are not experiential, guys. Don't get me wrong, there are inward spiritual senses that function with the gifts. But my Bible, and I hope your Bible is the same, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What is the word of righteousness? The word that enables you to do the right thing. Are you with me? For he is a babe. When you operate the gifts, that operation of the gifts must be manifested in righteousness. And that righteousness can only be word defined, guys. It cannot be experientially defined. So verse 14 says, but solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. But those senses trained to discern good and evil comes out of the word of righteousness. It does not simply come out of because you experience something. It is not a static interpretation of the word. It's a dynamic interpretation of the word by the Holy Spirit in the witness and testimony of Jesus. And sometimes you operate in peace, sometimes you operate in a heart in turmoil. Because your heart picks out the turmoil that is around you. And you realize that when you minister, you have to overcome that turmoil so that that turmoil becomes manifested in a peace that passeth all understanding, destroying the yokes that have caused that turmoil to manifest, whether in an individual's life or whether in a collection of people. Do you understand that? Ultimately, one day, you and I will be ministering to entire nations. We are sons of God in the making. So build right. Build in the root of David. That which is not built in the root of David will always manifest poison waters, guys. The root of evil is the love of money. The love of money comes in many different disguises. Sometimes it says, I want a big ministry. I want a lot of money, but let me start with a big ministry. Why? Because if I say big ministry, I can also bluff myself. But actually, at the root of it, I want a big car, and I want a big house, and I want a big bank balance, and I need this, and I need that, and I need the other. That's why I want a big ministry. So instead of saying, I love money, I say I want a big ministry. Then everything sounds nice. Everything sounds holy moly stuff. But the intents of the heart is something else. The root behind it is the love of money. So the Apostle Paul says that the love of money is the root of all evil. What does money buy you? Influence, position, respect. A big name, fame. It becomes your God. It becomes your God. So when we convert the entire gospel into a gospel of prosperity about big cars and big houses and we are feeding the root for the love of money. We are not talking about mansions in heaven. We are not talking about being built into heavenly places with every spiritual blessing in the name of Jesus Christ so that we can influence entire nations. That is God's idea of wealth. Wealth manifested in truth. Wealth manifested in integrity. Wealth manifested in the love of God. Wealth manifested as flowing from the heart of God in the goodness and faithfulness of the living God. Wealth that flows with healing over entire nations, bringing forth life and life and life and growth. Fueling the economy of creation with the life of God. Not with stupid money. That is the wealth of God's heart. Fueling the entire creation with the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. And wherever the river flows, it will give life. Praise the Lord. So how those gifts operate and function, you discover in your own life as you develop an intimacy with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, in the testimony of Jesus. Because the gift is manifested in light, and I want you to understand this, guys. Light comes out of the revealed word. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will have the light of life. John chapter 8 verse 12. The light of life. That is what your gift is meant to manifest. Not merely prophecy. If that prophecy manifests the light of God, people will be blessed. If your gift of faith manifests the life of God, the light of God, the light of his life. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. That guy is going to live forever. The people whom you minister to will live forever. Because the faith of Jesus Christ is everlasting light. It is a seed of light that can grow and grow and grow. It will transfigure the human being. The gift of miracles will not just bring mere healing. It will bring a transformation, a new creation. What greater miracle is there than for a new creation to manifest? And a new creation to manifest is very simply salvation. There is no greater miracle than salvation. And when we understand giftings in this kind of light, it will unite the Christian church. Even evangelicals have to hear and understand that the gifts are necessary. Because we are talking on a plane that cannot be realized through human endeavor. Yeah? It is all a God thing. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is manifesting something that the Holy Spirit brings. Whatever it may be. But Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. So the Holy Spirit, when he ministers that which is of Christ. That which is of the inheritance that Jesus Christ has taken possession of because he laid his life for the Father's glory. He laid his life so that the Father's will be done. Amen. You need to understand this, guys. We need to bring radical change into our thinking processes, the way we do anything and everything, the way we pray, the way we intercede, the way we teach the gospels, the way we preach the gospels, the way we counsel people, the way we deliver people from demonic powers. So often the deliverances we do are not complete. Why? When Jesus cast that guy who was possessed by all kinds of demons, he just said, go, and that guy was set free completely. What is the difference, brother? Very simply, because we are not doing it in the testimony of Jesus. We are not doing it in the testimony of Jesus. Something of ourselves is coming through. That's why the deliverance is not complete. That's why there are still open doors. So it's crucial for us to understand that the gifts flow in tandem with the word of God. Rhema. The gifts are an expression of Rhema. They're all Rhema expressions. And the root of that Rhema expression are the vocal gifts. You pray in tongues and the gift of and the word of knowledge comes out. That's Rhema word. Right? You pray in tongues and the word of wisdom operates. That's Rhema word. You pray in tongues and the discernment of spirits opens to you. Not to see demons talking, but to understand the spiritual atmosphere that is inflicting a person or a group of people. So that you can speak the right words. You can speak the right prophetic word. The gift of prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy all about? It's about consolation. Heal the guy. Set him free. Encourage him. Let that root of rejection be taken out and be nailed to the cross of Jesus. Let that root of hurt be uprooted and be nailed to the cross of Jesus. Build the fortress of the Lord into his heart and his mind. Release the right word. Over his past, his present, and his future. Seal his past, present, and future under the blood of the Lamb. Amen. There's a whole universe of reality here, guys. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about expressing him. When have you prayed, oh Lord, come forth through me. Come forth as you are in your glory. Come forth using me as your vessel. Come forth. Speak your word. Stretch out your healing hand and heal thy people, oh God. Deliver them, Lord Jesus. Deliver them as you did 2,000 years ago. Deliver them in a higher plane. Because you said, if we ask anything in your name, you will do it for us. You will give it to us. You said that we will do greater things than what you did. Simply because you are alive to us by the Holy Spirit from within us. That as you build us in your faith, as you build us in your witness and your testimony, oh God, it is only right that we should see greater manifestations of your glory. Because we have grown in you. We have grown by you. Because you said you are the life. So come forth, Lord Jesus, and set us free. Teach us, train us, make us your vessels. Enable us to be your vessels. That we may express you perfectly, that we may express you purely, that we may express you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that we can truly tell the Father that we hallow his name. Because he gave us you, so that we could in turn tell him that we love you, love him because you are in us. Because we are expressing you through our lives. Because we are expressing you through our conscious, our subconscious, and our unconscious. We are living by you. Because your Spirit works in us. Oh Lord, come through me and use me. Make me what you want me to be. Make me what the Father wants me to be. Put to death my hidden ambitions, my foolish thoughts, my carnal nature. Put to death that which is of my fleshly nature. And make me alive in your resurrection. That this gifting that you have given me, this gift mix that you have developed in me, Holy Spirit, let it come forth in the name of Jesus. Let it be a pure and perfect expression of Jesus Christ, of his fullness, of his Spirit and his life, of his faith and his love, of his nature and his character, of his witness and his testimony, so that mankind will live. Amen. So God's talking to us in pretty clear terms, isn't it? God's talking to us in pretty clear terms. And it's so important for us to understand this, brethren, because there has to be radical change in our thinking. Radical change in the way we have been using the gifts. We must be life givers. We must be life givers in every sense of the word. It's very simple. Just function in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And the Passover that will enable you to express these gifts perfectly will come forth. Will come forth. Nobody can stop it. God is not saying you must function without error. What he is saying is, if you make an honest mistake, I've got no problems with that because I can teach you through those honest mistakes. But don't be a crook. Don't be dishonest. If you bring your mistakes to me, I'm able to transform you. I can transfigure you. I am God. The Greek word for transform. I've forgotten the Greek word for transform. I think it is metamorpho. It is a total change in form. It's a total change in form. So that total change in form will be in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what you must understand. It is not change for the sake of change. It is change that is in perfect conformance to Christ Jesus. It is entirely the work of God. That's the plan of God. It's not about how much you can do. It's about what God can do with you. And then the gifts will flow perfectly and you will see lives being transformed. You will know it because God will testify to it with a joy inside of you. Joy is the testament that you are doing something that is truly of the heart of God. It's the joy of the Father made manifest to you through the Son by the Spirit. That's why the fruit of the Holy Spirit says joy. That's why it says joy is the strength of the Lord. You're doing it by God and God is strong in you. Arise in me, O God, as a man of war. then spiritual warfare will always be testified to by two realities, joy and peace. Joy meaning you are a strong tower in the Lord, by the Lord. Peace meaning you have manifested the victory of the Lamb through your prayer life, through your ministry life. Amen. And all these things are there. That when you minister in your giftings, there will be kindness in your heart. Kindness towards the downtrodden. Kindness, compassion. There will be strength, self-control. Amen. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, guys. It's not the fruit of man. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the law. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is taking the character and nature and testimony of Jesus and working it into you, perfecting it and completing it into you and me. Amen. It's powerful. And if you and I are the workmanship of God, we can automatically give honestly with all integrity, give all glory to God. It'll flow naturally. What is there to boast about yourself when you know it is all the work of God? It is when we actually think it is my effort that then it becomes a problem. Yeah? I paid the price. If you paid the price, if Jesus paid the price, then you and I are merely stewards. And we boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. We boast in the Father's gift of the Son. We boast in what the Spirit has brought forth in the name of Jesus in accordance with the Father's will. And as you boast in your God, the knowledge of Him grows in you. The intimacy of Him grows in you. And you come to fall in love with Him. How can you not fall in love with someone who has given you every good thing? Every perfect gift. He's made it actually come to work inside of you. How can you not fall in love with Him? How can you not admire what He has done? And where you were and where He has brought you. Come on, guys. If we keep on manifesting our own works, we will only be impressed with ourselves. Look at the world in the flesh. The guys who do well, they're all so full of themselves. But in the church, we have to learn lessons from those who are also full of themselves. Haven't you seen that too? And that is a total betrayal of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they actually think they have paid the price, guys. That's where the root is. I paid the price, therefore I deserve to be here. I deserve to be an apostle of the Lord. Fiddlesticks. That's not what John and Peter and Paul wrote. Hello. That's not what they wrote. So who are these apostles who keep telling us how much they have done to deserve the place that they have? Who are these prophets who talk so much about themselves and their ministries? They are not prophets of the Lord. If you are prophets of the Lord, you will boast in the Lord your God. Who else is there to boast in? If you are prayer warriors who are actually taking up walks into heaven and seeing the wonders of God, then you should be full of God. You should be boasting in Him, not telling us about how great you are. He should increase and we should disappear. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Precious and Holy Father, You have given us awesome gifts, Lord. They appear to be 9 gifts, but those 9 gifts prophetically represents Your will, Father. And Your will is enormous. Your will is astonishing, Lord. Those gifts are just root forms of an awesome mix of giftings, O God, that You mean to manifest with amazing arrays of operations and effects and amazing expressions, O God, of the greatness of Jesus Christ. For His fullness is meant to fill all in all. And the Holy Spirit has come to reveal Jesus in us and through us so that He will fill all in all. Enable us to hear the word of God and deal with our dishonest ways, O God. We all have them. Deal with the hidden agendas of our own fleshly ways, our own fleshly agendas. Kill the serpent, Father. Kill every manifestation and expression, O God, that is of the Antichrist, Father. That we will come forth as vessels in whom Christ has been formed. That every expression of our ministries will be an expression, O God, of the glory of Jesus Christ Himself. That as His glory is manifested, we who are His vessels will be the first to fall before Him and to worship Him, Lord. We will be the ones who will come before You, O God, and tell You, O God, hallowed be Thy name. And we will be so grateful to the Holy Spirit who made it all happen, Lord. How much we need to give You all glory, Lord. Because surely, Lord, in salvation, You deserve every form of glory. So we pray that You will build a church that will be able to see this, understand this, and give expression to this all over the world, both Jew and Gentile. That we will give expression to it as we are fashioned in the flesh of the Lamb, as we find expression in the true and faithful witness in spirit, water, and blood. Father, we give You glory and honor, worship and praise for the immensity, O God, of all that stands behind these giftings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.